Hello everybody, welcome back to the Kiwi Gardening Podcast with DIY Plantman. In this episode today, we are going to be talking about gardening overwhelm and how we can get ourselves into a bit of a situation where we are struggling to keep up our maintenance of our garden and where things are happening faster than we can actually deal with them. So I've just got a couple points here that I'll be talking on. Before we get into that, right now we are late spring, almost the beginning of summer, and everything is growing really quickly right now. The days are longer, the sun is getting bright and sunny, and we are just getting a lot of green growth. My cucumbers are starting to form, I've got beans, a lot of leafy greens have already come into production. My tomatoes are just starting to produce tomatoes. So this is an awesome time of the year because we see so many little bits of growth and it's really exciting to get these things. But as we're going to look at in this episode, it's not all roses. There are a lot of difficulties that we need to overcome. And especially if you're a new gardener, it's easy to get overwhelmed with the workload that you can accumulate. Now, social media and other sharing platforms most of the time depict the perfect gardens, and we can sometimes get disheartened by that because we think our garden should look the same as that. But what you're actually seeing, even this is for myself as well, I don't really post my fails on Instagram or Facebook, although I do try and I post the photo and then I also try to add like a little video to kind of show as well. So in some aspects, I do show a bit of my gardening reality as well. But yeah, so why does our garden look different than what it does on Instagram? Well, the thing is, when you are doing your garden, a picture can close in on one small aspect of the garden, which looks amazing, and the rest of your garden could look messy. Because what you've got to realize is each season, you'll have different plants that have just gone in, so the seedlings. Then you have plants that are at maturity now. So you might have some nice fresh heads of lettuce and you might have some other leafy greens or you might have beans or something. So these look really good. And then you have your other crops that have gone too far. So you'll have things that are starting to go to seed and you might be collecting seeds. So it looks really messy. Or you might be growing flowers and they've started to die off now. So it can look a bit messy because you've got so many different stages in your garden, but you should not be disheartened by this because you can find beauty even in the messy gardening structure, I guess. Now let's talk about gardeners' overwhelm and how we can improve this feeling by implementing different tricks and different systems to combat that. Number one, we'll be talking a little bit about starting with bite-sized chunks. Now, when you get really motivated, when you start something, you go all in. And for gardening, I would not take this approach because it's something that needs to be learned and it's not something that you just have automatically, unless you do have it automatically, and you'd probably be one of the very few amount of people who would be in this category. But for the rest of us, it's not that easy, and by starting with a massive garden, trying to grow every different type of plant, veggie wise, and some flowers, it's easy to get overwhelmed, and especially after a few months when things are starting to look a little bit messy, or you don't have enough time, you can really be put off gardening full stop. So you'll think, oh, gardening's not for me because you know, this whole plot looks ugly and I just can't do it. It's just too stressful. I thought gardening was a therapeutic activity. So we don't want to go to that point. So in order for us to do that, we want to take bite-sized chunks. Now, what I suggest to anybody who's starting gardening or who's done gardening for a little bit is let's talk to the people who are just starting gardening first. If you're just starting gardening, I would start with one pot or one plant. And I would generally start with a herb or something like that because it's a lot harder to kill it It gives you that sense of achievement when you actually successfully grow it. You can use it in the kitchen quite easily. So you'll have a lot of success, lots of small wins, and then you can set yourself up to actually increase your production. And then if you have gardened for a little bit, it totally is up to you of how much you want to put into your garden, how much space you want to use. But for like a medium, for an intermediate gardener, I would probably suggest doing like a garden, a raised bed, maybe 1 meter by 2 meters, and a couple pots or something like that. So that's enough for you to produce enough produce for you to really get the gardening bug. But it's also not that much that you're sacrificing your whole weekends and you're sacrificing your evenings to keep these things alive. So with anything, take it in small increments, and as you go through your journey, you will pick up successes and then you'll really start to enjoy it. You'll learn things on the way. You might kill one of your plants early on and, oh, I shouldn't do that. However, if you went and bought, 10 basil plants instead of one, and then you killed all of them because you did the same process with them all, it's a much bigger cost, and it's also a bigger loss, and this will most likely put you off gardening. So yeah, where you can, just take it easy. And one other thing I'd suggest, when you do buy a plant, if you're just starting out, buy a good healthy plant. Don't buy a cheap plant that's in clearance that you want to try and revive, because it will be difficult for you to revive a plant if you're a new gardener or even an intermediate gardener. It's not really worth it. So get a nice, strong, healthy plant. Spend a little bit of money on it, because you're not going to buy every single plant variety there is there. So you can't afford to do that. And then if you're living on a balcony or you have a small patio, I would go and get one of those grow bags from Mitre 10 or Bunnings or wherever you shop. And they have handles. You can get them from, I think, 35 litres to 75 litres. It's a big black bag. It's nice and portable, so you can move it around. It's a good size, so you don't have to water it frequently. And it's not too bad to look at. So if you are wanting to start cheap and start small, that's where I would start. I would grow maybe some thyme or some other type of herb that you like to eat. My favorite is actually garlic chives, so that's what I would do if I was starting out gardening for the first time again. And yeah, get those little achievements and those little wins, and then hopefully this will get you going for the coming years. Number two. So another thing that we get fooled by as gardeners is that once we have established our garden, it's all set to go and it kind of looks after itself, whereas this is not the case. And the second tip, or the second way to improve gardening overwhelm, is to do regular care. Now for me, I like to go out in the morning before work. I wake up at 6 o'clock, I probably get out at 6:10. I stay out there for 40 minutes or so. It's nice and refreshing. It's a nice way to be able to see how the plants are doing, especially since they've rejuvenated overnight. And then I like to water my garden and just not do anything hardcore, but just kind of map in your head what's happening in your garden and how you can actually, and the things you might need to do in the coming week or the weekend or something. You don't have to do it right then and there, but if you've got it on your mind, for example, oh, I might need to harvest these leafy greens, I might need to trim this plant back, I might need to put mulch around this plant. And you kind of get a little list of things that you need to do in your head. So then when you go out next time, you might not need a water, but you could do 2 or 3 little chores to actually help you along. Now, I understand that there are many different occupations and people have different opportunities to get out in the garden. I know some people like doctors and nurses and other people who work in emergency departments and places like that have to work night shifts, and they're on a rotating roster, so they never really have a set time where they can actually set that aside every day to go out in the garden. And then I know some people work later into the evening, or they start really early. So you are going to have to work this out for yourself. I can't really give you the answer to this, but you'll have to find out a time, and the amount of time as well is determined by what you can actually afford to put out there. So I can do about 40 minutes, which is awesome for me. I'll do more if I can. But if you can get out there for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, it's better to do that than to try to get out there for half a day on Saturday and leave it for the rest of the week. If you do this, you're not going to have much success because things are not going to get the care they need at the time they need it. You're going to get a whole bunch of insects on your plants that you could have controlled if you went outside 3 days before and actually got rid of that infestation before it actually outbursted into a massive problem. So things like this really do help you be able to monitor and sort out little problems before they become big problems. Okay, so that's number two, so regular care. Number three is convenient practices. Now I see a lot of people make this mistake when it comes to gardening, and this is putting your garden very far away from where your house is or where there's easy access. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. And to be honest, I'm guilty of this with one of my first gardens at my parents' house when I used to live there. I planted my garden probably 100 meters away from the house. It was around the corner. It was, you know, out of sight, out of mind, as I said. And there was no water access either right next to the gardens. So I had to use the watering cans and fill them up near the house and then carry them over. And this is quite tedious. And it can be a lot of hard work, and it can definitely put you off gardening. Another reason why I think that is because when you go to harvest your crops, if you're making something in the kitchen and you think, oh, I might just chuck a couple herbs in this pizza, or I wonder what leafy greens we have for a salad. Now, if your garden is very far away from your house or in a place that you can't really see from the kitchen, then you are more likely to be lazy or just not go and harvest those crops. And then you can miss the opportunity to actually harvest plants at the right time. So you would get a lot more wastage. And yeah, I'm not saying this is always the case. I'm sure there are some very diligent people. But if you're starting and you're feeling overwhelmed, this is something that can definitely add to that. So I'll just make sure that if you are trying to set up a garden somewhere, if possible, if the sun permits, there's so many different factors, I guess, before you can actually decide where to put your garden. But if the factors are there, then I would 100% put it as close to your kitchen as possible, because then you'll actually utilize it the most. Okay, so that was a quick third tip. Now, number four is just wanting to talk to you guys about gardening as a skill. So gardening is a skill that must be learnt like any other skill. Like riding a bike, you don't just get on there and are a pro all of a sudden. You can do flips and I don't know what you want to do with a bike, but you're not going to be able to do that. As a child, you use trainer wheels, and this actually helps you to be able to ride the bike really well before you actually screw up. Now, gardening is the same, but for some reason, a lot of people don't see it this way. They think that maybe I'll be different and I don't need to learn this. It's something that just is natural and will come naturally to me. But I just want you to know that it is a skill and you will require a lot of knowledge. However, this shouldn't stop you from wanting to start, because like learning anything else, the more you do it, the more you learn. And for me, the biggest way I learn is, well, I learn from other people, but the main way I learn in my garden is to learn through making mistakes. I might sow something at the wrong time of the year and it doesn't work. That means I know for next year, oh, I don't want to make that mistake again. I don't want to sow tomatoes in the middle of winter. I don't want to plant carrots into trays. Instead, I want to sow these straight into my garden. Now, these little small things are things that you'll pick up along the way, and you will actually have different experience than other people because you have a different environment. You probably have different knowledge and skills already from gardening. So you will make different mistakes than I'll make, and vice versa. So it is awesome to be able to share your knowledge with others and learn from others as well. But as I said, gardening is a skill, and it's something that you will need to acquire knowledge on and practice. And one of the biggest things I reckon a gardener needs to be is patient. If you're not a patient person, either gardening's not for you, or gardening will teach you patience. Because like so many things in this world where we have instant gratification, so convenient, it's right there for you. Gardening is not like that. You can't just put a seed in the ground and then harvest your pumpkin the next day. You're going to have to wait over 100 days before you even see a pumpkin on there ready to harvest. There are some quick crops that you can kind of cheat in, I guess. Things like microgreens and stuff, so you can give yourself like small wins, which I love to do. But a lot of other things are going to need a lot of patience and a lot of time. So gardening is a great way to learn patience. It's definitely a skill that is valuable in this day and age. So guys, I hope these tips and tricks help you with your gardening overwhelm if you're feeling that way. Or if you're not, I hope this has been a nice conversation for you to listen to and be able to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, to learn from your mistakes, and encourage others who are making mistakes as well that it's okay to make those mistakes. So thanks for listening, guys. This is all for this episode. I appreciate you guys listening and being back. Once again, if you want to find out a bit more information about me or what I'm growing, if you haven't followed me on Instagram yet, give that a follow, DIY Plant Man on Instagram. Or you can follow me on Facebook. Not too active on Facebook yet, but hopefully I will be in the future. And also, I'm planning on making a YouTube channel. So if you would like to suggest some videos that you'd like me to make, some tutorial videos or how to grow such and such a crop, then hit me up. I'd be happy to take your suggestions. And if you'd like me to give you a shout out on the podcast, I'm also happy to do that. And if you have a suggestion for the podcast, please let me know as well, and I'm happy to see what I can do there. So once again, thank you for listening. I hope you have a great weekend or weekday or whenever you're listening to this podcast. And all the best in the garden, guys, and thank you for listening.